Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to episode number 29, where Kirk and I are going to be interviewing John Frankett, the president and founder of Triple R Media. We're going to go over the five questions advisors ask John about working with wealthy clients, since John is a specialist in working with high net worth and ultra high net worth clients. So you're speaking to us from Chicago today, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
All right, so we've pretty much got the whole upper Midwest covered with Kirk in Toronto and me here in Michigan, but to start off, would you mind telling us what your definition of a wealthy client is?
Yeah, we typically look at 1%, whether it be net worth or income level. And for advisors, they, you know, a rough benchmark is about $5 million and above in net worth.
Okay, fantastic. So what are the questions that you get asked by advisors all the time about working with the high net worth?
Yeah, so the first question that I get asked often, and I do quite a bit of speaking in the space, whether it be insurance conferences or wealth management conferences, is how do I connect with someone that lives a very different lifestyle than I do? Because many times these advisors are working with ultra high net worth individuals, which is $30 million and above, and they clearly don't live that lifestyle. So they often ask, how do I relate to someone that is living a lifestyle that's very different from mine?
And that's a really difficult question. I really think that, and we're going to dive into how we're going to answer and how John answers all of these here in just a minute. But are you saying that the advisor, just kind of paraphrase that they're afraid they're not going to be able to walk the walk and talk the talk? And if they can't, you're going to show them today on how to bridge that gap, correct?
Yeah, what they're concerned about is just, you know, it's such a relationship-driven business. Their big concern is, how do I relate to someone that is living a lifestyle that I don't live, you know, day to day? And, you know, I typically answer with, you need to get over it very quickly. because if you're going to be in this space, you need to get used to it very quickly. The best advice I have for advisors is to be yourself. People with wealth, you know, they are typically very interested people, meaning they love in-depth conversation. They love to be asked questions about their passions and so forth. And that's a great way to do it, is to be curious, right, about the lifestyle in a very sincere and genuine way. If someone has a car collection, ask them how they got involved in car collecting. Right. And what's their favorite car ever, or wine collecting? Very similar thing.
Well, I think it's a great quality for advisors to have, is to be curious when you're trying to have a relationship. It kind of lends to that idea of being a great listener. Mm-hmm. And when you're asking questions, you're learning a lot about somebody so that you know what they need and where their concerns may lie, you know, which is protecting that collection. You know, having cash flow for that collection and not having to sell it. So there's all kinds of interesting things that plays into as far as understanding the ultra high net worth.
When you're initiating a conversation with somebody, in your experience, is it better to say, you know, what an amazing collection, I don't know anything about this, would you mind? Is that a better way to kind of bridge the gap between, like, not trying to be a poser or not trying to say, you know, hey, I know about this, but I don't. But what about that humble approach? Have you found that works?
Yeah, and that plays along with the advice that I gave before, be yourself, right? Meaning that you know, if you don't know about cars, you need to just be genuine about it, right? And open, I guess, is the best way to be.
I think this may be a case where fake it till you make it doesn't work.
Yeah, not at all. No, no, someone's going to – I know we hear about that. We hear about that a lot, right, out in the space. But that really does not work in working with high net worth and ultra high net worth individuals. I mean, these are very smart individuals that are, you know, successful for a reason, and they can see through things like that. And they appreciate when people get to the point and they're very genuine, you know, if you don't know anything about cars, you know, Kirk, to your point and Matt, here's of, you know, just be honest about it and just say, look, that is a beautiful car and I'll probably never own one myself, but, you know, and I don't know the first thing about it. Tell me how you got involved in it. Why this car? I mean, that's a great question for someone with a car collection. Like, why are you a Porsche fanatic? And that'll, you know, you'll have a wonderful conversation about the individual that eventually can get to business, you know, down the road. You know, you want to build a relationship with someone, and that means that you might have to put your agenda, right, to the side of doing business. The focus is really, how do I develop a deep relationship with this individual? Because then that is the gatekeeper, if you will, right? Once you start developing that relationship with someone and you build trust with them, mm-hmm. right, that you're going to be honest with them, the sky is really the limit with them. I mean, think about this. Someone can read through someone who's not being themselves, right? How do you ever trust someone, right, that is not being themselves?
Right.
Not trusting themselves enough, right? And that's getting kind of philosophical and deep.
But true.
That's, yeah, but very true. I mean, it's a, you know, if someone can't, if you see that someone can't even trust themselves with themselves, right, how are you going to ever trust them with your, with you, right, and your wealth? So that's a very important point, that you really need to be yourself and be curious.
All right, let's go up to question number two. So that was question number one, which is, how do I connect with them on a lifestyle level when I don't live that lifestyle? What is question number two?
Yeah, number two kind of plays in with that as well. It's, you know, where do I find high net worth and ultra high net worth individuals? You know, how do I engage them other than them coming from my referral sources and centers of influence? You know, what is a great place to meet? You know, we tie it back to lifestyle again. You want to try to connect with people around their passions and have a rich conversation around that, because that's a great way to build relationships. You know, car events, yachting events, wine events, art auctions, so forth. You should be going to those, right? Aviation shows, right? Great place to meet people, high net worth plane owners and so forth. You know, we have a great story of one insurance agent that's in the private client insurance space. She lives near Oshkosh, right, in Wisconsin. They have an air show every single year that people bring in antique airplanes, and these planes are worth millions of dollars. And it's a great place for her to connect with aviation enthusiasts, you know, that are high net worth. Focus on where they're passionate and where they're spending their time, and get involved in those events as well.
Should they sponsor those events, or should they just be present?
You know, sponsoring those events, great, if you can do that and afford that, right? That can get pretty expensive. I'm just talking about frequenting them, right? And engaging with people and mixing with people at those events.
Question number three. So you gave us some really good opportunities and some good ideas for everybody to figure out exactly where they can go. What is question number three? Because I really like this question, because the center of influence idea has always been something, as Kirk, I mean, even with what Kirk said with the fake it till you make it thing, we hear this so often. So help us with this third question, please.
Yeah. Number three, because, you know, centers of influence and referral sources play such a big role in growing your business in the private client space. You know, people often ask, you know, how do I develop that network, right, of centers of influence and referral sources? And it's much like when you think about actually meeting the actual client individuals, you want to use a phrase, you know, popular phrase, fish where the fish are, right? So you want to think about where these centers of influence and referral sources are going to be and where they're going to be focused on business. So oftentimes I'll suggest to wealth managers to attend private client insurance conferences, or luxury real estate conferences even, and for insurance agents to go to wealth management conferences. And the first time I brought this up, there was this duh moment, right, in the audience, because I asked, it was an insurance conference, and I asked, how many of you have been to a wealth management conference to network with wealth managers? Not one hand went up. There are 50 people in the room. Not one hand went up. And these are high net worth, ultra high net worth wealth managers, very well, or insurance agents, very well respected. They know their business. None of them had thought about it. Those events, that is what those people are going to those events for, right? To strengthen and build their business. So it's a great opportunity to meet people that are in a you know, I want to grow my business mindset.
Kirk and I have done this professionally for both of us to be able to get in front of the kind of people we want to get in front of, right? It's finding that opportunity and going to that opportunity. Obviously, we both work with the same sort of financial services professionals, but it's great to go to, even as a participant, into one of these events just to go ahead and mingle and get to know some of these other people and get some FaceTime. I love that one. And man, do I wish more people paid attention to that. In fact, John, we might want to dive into that a little bit more deeply on another podcast and talk about some of the things that you have found in the past or you've heard from other clients that work really, really well. Okay, so we're on question number four. First question was, how do I connect with them on a lifestyle level when I don't live that lifestyle? Number two, which is, how do I find ultra high net worth individuals in a place that I can engage with them? Number three was, where do I find centers of influence and referral sources? And what's question number four?
Yeah, question number four is, when we talk about how do we continually engage clients, a lot of people do client events, and this conversation happens almost at every single event that I do or speaking engagement. We end up talking about client events because a lot of people do them. And the big question is, you know, how do, you know, I avoid cancellations at these client events, or how do we get the people that we want to go to these client events, to go to the client events, because oftentimes there's what I call event groupies, right? The same 5% are always showing up. And, you know, the cancellation is really an interesting one because it opens up a bigger conversation of, is the client event about you or is it about your client, right? And if it's about you, it's really putting some type of obligation or asking for a favor from your client, right, to show up to this luncheon or whatever it be. And if you really think about it, those luncheons are about the company. They're not about the clients. And I, you know, get in some debate about this sometimes, but it's really about the company filling seats. And many advisors, you know, insurance or wealth that I talk to, they're like, yeah, you know, the marketing director is hounding on me to get people to come to this event to, you know, fill seats. The idea is you want to make it about the client. Right. And the way to avoid cancellations is to truly make it about the client. So I am much more a fan of small, intimate events. It's really focused on client passions, whether it be a car event, right? Line up a special invitation that you have, you know, you're only taking 8 people, right, to view the concept cars at, an automotive company, right? Design company, or, you know, a special event around wine or whiskey or whatever those passions be. Because one, once the word starts getting around that you do these great events, a lot of people are going to want to come. But if it's something that someone's passionate about, they're not going to cancel. I mean, you have to think about wealthy people can buy themselves lunch just about anywhere they want, right? And they get plenty of invitations. So you really need to make those events special, and that will reduce the cancellations.
I think a great exercise here for advisors might be just to create like a little matrix. And if you got 50 ideal clients as an example, take a table of, you know, 5 segments or rows. And then just add the people, like come up with 5 different interests. And maybe you could be surveying them, but maybe you already know them well enough. And put people into those areas of whatever that interest may be. And then invite those people. So, you know, Bob always he loves wine. He's going to come to the wine event. Bob doesn't care about cars. I'm not inviting him to that. And just kind of make up some interests. And maybe there's some crossover there. And you can invite, you know, Bob to a car thing one time and a wine thing another time. Kind of shift around. But, you know, just... I don't think it should be that hard to figure out how to put on an event that's all about the client, not about you, and have people excited about coming. But you got to start figuring that out and building your practice that way. Because right now, most advisors do them for the wrong reasons,
right?
Which is prospecting, referrals. I want to meet your friends, and they know that. So there's other ways to. That's probably the best way to make sure people show up for your event. But another way is just to make sure that the event is well organized. When they come, they you know, things go well. There's lots of follow up. Those kinds of little marketing things help a lot too. But
you want to make sure they have a good time and make it about them and that they enjoy it. And you know, they'll show their appreciation. And Kirk, you brought up a good point of, you know, the prospecting. You can use these events for prospecting, right? Somebody that goes to, you know, a car event that says, wow, that was a great event. I loved going and all that. That's a perfect opportunity to say, hey, next time maybe you bring a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I think advisors should go into this type of event thinking, we're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
If you get something out of it, that's icing on the cake.
That's, yeah, gravy. Yep, I agree. Yeah, I'm gonna add just one small point, which is I also think they need to be very patient. And the, you know, nobody hits a home run the first time they go up to plate. So you realize that you might have to do two or three of these events just to create some buzz and create some experience so people will start showing up more and more. You know, Tony Robbins didn't have 10,000 people at his first event. He had like three, right? So always keep that in mind. All right, so what is the fifth question, John?
Yeah, I've sent gifts, but no one responds to them. Right? Do gifts really work? And gifts do work. You just have to think about them, you know, be mindful about what you're sending. It needs to be something unique. Harry and David's fruit baskets, stuff mm-hmm. like that. I mean, everybody gets those, right? And there's nothing unique and special about those things. It's a nice, you know, you're showing your appreciation, right? And that's on the surface what you want to do with gifts. You want it to convey your appreciation, but you also want it to be, you know, memorable, right? Sure. Something that people are going to see as unique. They're not going to be able to go get themselves. You know, it needs to be a good marketing tool, right?
Kirk talks about this from I love how you said that, from a marketing tool perspective. So Kirk, you talk a lot about some of the communication framework we've talked about on some other podcasts. So John, before we dive into some of the special and specificity of the gifts that you give, Kirk, do you mind actually talking about the hits, touches, and moments idea?
Yeah, I think it's a great way for advisors to frame where giving a gift or where having going to an event where these things might unfold. So a hit, these three things happen all the time in an advisor's practice: a hit, a touch, and a moment. A hit is most communication that advisors send out to their clients. And that's when they get a reminder about something, or you're coming to it, or here's my newsletter, or here's your statements and things like that. They're mostly administrative type things. And advisors' clients get that stuff all the time. Even if you're doing your job, if you send too many notifications, it's going to feel like you're hitting them. That's why the term is there. So you got to be careful about not annoying your clients by sending them too much information, even though you want to offer good customer service. Second one is touches. This is a moment where you reach out and you add some value. It may be something they were expecting or not expecting, but it's got a little more value in it. And I would call that a touch. I think the Life Refined magazine kind of is borders on there, and then moments. So let's just call it a high-end touch. And there's low-end touches, which may be sending your newsletter. If you send your newsletter too much, that's going to turn into a hit. So think about how you communicate with your clients in these three segments. The moment, which is really interesting, we've talked about, everybody's wondering what Life Refined is, but John's going to get into that shortly. But a moment is where you really connect with a client and you offer them something that they likely weren't expected. You have an experience with them. You have a moment, if you will. What John's been talking a lot today is putting yourself in positions to have moments like those events.
Yeah.
Like make them so that it's a moment. If it's just an event that, you know, somebody spoke, you had a glass of wine, you said, hi, how you doing? There's nothing really happened there. But if you create a really unique experience for people doing something that you or they really love, in this case, probably that they really love, you've got an opportunity to have a moment with a client, something that's memorable. That's what you want to do. And that's why it's important to understand the distinction between a hit, which will hurt if you get them too much, a touch, which can be uncomfortable if you touch somebody too much, and then a moment. So you want to get to moments. If you can get there once in a while with your clients, that is absolutely golden.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic way to outline it. Nobody wants to be hit too much. And if you focus more on those touches and moments, it's something we talk a lot about. And a lot of times when I'm recapping an event or someone says, you know, how do I drive my relationship-driven business, right? I mean, the wealth space is all about relationships. I like to put it in a single sentence that people can really grab onto and center a strategy around, right? And that is, you want to make it easy and fun to think of you often and share your business with others. If you can do that, success is just going to happen.
Well, right, and that's space. Your system, right? I mean, that's this whole idea. And I love, and Kirk, that was brilliant. I don't think I've actually heard you put that better. And when people are touched in order to create the moment, we want to touch them in the right way. And your research and what you've created with Triple R has teased some of that stuff out. So let's talk about what these gift ideas are and the answer to the fifth question that you always hear from advisors and working with wealthy clients.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we talk about gifts, we really, and what we do with Life Refine is we focus on lifestyle. I mean, people are passionate about it. They love talking about travel, food, wine, you know, talking about, reading about. So with Life Refine, we came up with the whole idea of, look, can we give an advisor their own private label lifestyle magazine? Right, that's focused on the high end, right? High net worth and ultra high net worth individual. It makes it easy to stay in front of them in a fun way that they enjoy because we do really high end content, imagery. You know, it's just a beautiful publication that sits on a coffee table. So every time, you know, someone walks by it, you're staying top of mind, right? Making it easy and fun, right? To stay in front of them. But also it plays into the whole referral thing. Someone comes over to someone's house, they pick up the magazine, they pick it up and they go, wow, this is beautiful. Where did this come from? I've never seen this label before. Oh, it comes from my wealth advisor. It's their magazine. And then it kickstarts that conversation. And that's where we see referrals come in for our client. It's thinking of those ways, right, to stay in front of someone in a way, stay in front of someone in a way they're going to enjoy, right? And people, you know, with wealth love, you know, lifestyle content. So we're a big fan, obviously, of what we do with Life Refine, and our clients love it. Those small intimate events that we talked about, right? That's an excellent way. And it's also a way to look at it as a gift is, you know, it's a gift to be invited to these things, right? If only 8 people get to come and you're one of the individuals that get to come to this special event, that's pretty neat. Right. And the way to also think about these is, and this is perhaps a whole nother conversation, is you need to think of your marketing in terms of evergreen and episodic. Right. The magazine Life Refine is evergreen. It's in the house. It's in, you know, in the client's house, in the COI's office all the time, 24/7, 365. It's there. Right. That's your evergreen strategy. Your episodic strategy, right, is around events, right? Around, you know, these episodes that happen. Okay, great. A car event is coming into town. I want to connect with the organizers and plan a behind-the-scenes conversation with this car designer that's coming into town, and 6 of my clients are going to get to have lunch with them, right? That's episodic, right? So it's thinking of these things and getting them to work together. But the common theme I always like to come back to with people is, you know, thinking about make it easy and fun to think of you and share your business with others, right? And do it around lifestyle because that's what people are passionate about.
The magazine is a really fabulous magazine that any high net worth person or ultra high net worth person, I think, would absolutely indulge in. And I think that's a great door opener. It's a great value add if you're talking about gifts, and it's something people are going to talk about. And that's one of the things that you've been talking about sharing with us today. And I talk about it all the time. You got to have a message and a story and have experiences with clients that they want to tell other people about.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's that touch point that keeps you in front of people. And, you know, to really kind of wrap it up is we tell clients, look, some of our clients use it as a touch point, whether they're, you know, wealth advisors, insurance advisors, luxury real estate agents, they say, great, it's a touch point. It's great appreciation marketing, right? This gift in there. Others use it as a business development tool. They realize that, look, this keeps me in front of clients and someone else is going to pick it up. What people really need to remember, what we do with the magazine is we truly make it their private label. That means they get exclusive use with whoever they're sending it to. They can customize, you know, their branding, personalize it to the individual. That front and side letter is personalized to the individual. You can even customize the ads and personalize the ads to a one-to-one basis. You know, extreme example is we have luxury real estate agents will drop in a house and say, you know, hope you enjoy the home after they sold it. And it goes to the individual, right? So you can do things like that. And, you know, strategically, a lot of advisors will develop different messaging for clients, for centers of influence and referral sources, and for prospects. But it truly becomes their private label luxury lifestyle magazine.
One of the things that Kirk and I love to do, and Kirk, I'm glad you brought up the bio thing, because I can't tell you how many times I've read some terrible bios that are in great places, right? That if the bio was written well, or if things like what, John, you were just saying, you know, just little itty bitty quippy marketing messages, you should try to work with somebody to help you create those and tease those out, because it can really increase the overall impact. Now, John, I'm going to challenge you on something here, because as we work with, we obviously, you're on a podcast as of right now. Mm-hmm. Are there other ways to utilize this magazine? So how could we take this wonderful touch that you have, or any of the things that you do, and how would we create longer legs with that, or increase our opportunity? I mean, is there a way to do any of these articles socially, or have you ever seen anybody do any sort of videos, or help us with, you know, gaining some more legs here?
Yeah, absolutely. So people use it really creatively. I think probably one of the most creative uses is we have a wealth manager here in Chicago that has had phenomenal results with it. I mean, he's gotten lunches with ultra high net worth individuals that he would never even have dreamed of. And the way that he does it is he started using the magazine. He wanted a creative way of, you know, how do I let people know the magazine's coming and get them excited about it and let them know that it's special? So he actually did every issue that comes out. He does a short video and he says, hey, be sure to keep an eye out for, you know, the current issue of Life or Fine. It's going to be to you soon. We're covering Iceland, you know, Austrian wines, so forth, and great articles in it. Very short brief. He emails it to his clients that are receiving the magazine.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And he says, it's great. He's like, not only do people say, hey, I love the magazine, but they say, hey, yeah, great magazine. I was just in Iceland. Mm. So what a perfect opportunity for him to send a reply back email saying, you know what, that's great. I've always wanted to go. How about we get together for lunch? More FaceTime with the clients. So he's using it very actively. Right? That's a very active way to utilize the magazine. We have another one that just asked us for a cover of the magazine, and he sends an email saying, you know, hey, be sure to look out for Life or Fine. Here's the cover.
Now, could they repurpose? So here's where I don't know how your intellectual property will go here, but let's say they have a robust social media page. And there is something really cool about the bespoke ski trips. Or I actually, you sent me the same magazine with the kinetic furniture, and I just thought that was freaking amazing. But let's say, are you able to share that to say, you know, here is an example of one of the articles in the magazine you're going to get. If you know anybody else who would like to read this, just go ahead and forward this to them. I mean, are you able to do that, or is there issues?
Yeah, we try to stay away from pushing out the actual articles because, again, it's a private label. So you want it to be special. You don't want it to be on the internet and anybody, you know, that gets hold of it be able to read it. But you bring up a really good point. So many people, like the advisor that sends out the videos or the advisor that I was mentioning that has the cover, right, and utilizes the cover, they will sometimes, when they're talking to people or when they send out the email of, you know, if you know of anyone else that would like the magazine, let me know, right? And that gives them an opportunity to have a conversation. And, you know, advisors need to get comfortable with these conversations, whether it's the magazine or not, of is this a qualified referral? Right? Or is it just someone that you want to send the magazine to or someone you want me to meet, right? They have to be very careful about the way that they utilize their time. So advisors have gotten really had interesting conversations where someone say, you know, I'd like to send the magazine to this person. And the advisor would say, you know, this is, you know, definitely written for high net worth. Is, you know, are they going to enjoy the magazine? Oh, yeah, I think they really would. So it's kind of that qualification stage, right? And they use it as kind of that tool. And one advisor said, you know what? They go, you know, yeah, this is maybe a little bit high end for them.
Oh, hello. Right? That's
great. That's like, way to filter them out.
Absolutely. Right? Well, John, I think it's going to be important for us to have you back because I would like to dive in a lot more about some of the other things that you do at Triple R. For instance, you know, talking a little bit more about the small event invitation. And I really do want to dive into private label. I've heard some really interesting things from some other massive marketing gurus who do a lot of the private label stuff and have had absolutely great success with it. So with that, John, thank you very much for joining us today for the 5 questions advisors ask you about working with the wealthy clients and the ultra high net worth. Kirk, thank you for your time today.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much, John. It was rewarding for our audience and for Matt and I.
Thank you so much for inviting me.